We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sharp, it is alive, it is quick, and it is powerful. And Lord, I'm praying today that our eyes will be opened to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, and in particularly, Father, the gifts of the Spirit. And as a result of today, Father, we'd be more hungry than ever before to be used by you in a supernatural way. Most of all, Father, I pray today that people come to know you as Lord and Savior. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. We want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We've been in a series talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, guys. And we've been talking about prophecy and talking about the ascension gift that God gives to the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, that says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. What are the some to do? To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So who does the work of the ministry? The some or the saints? The saints. And the some are there to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, that we might become complete, we might become mature, we might know what it is to be in unity. And he gives some, not everyone, some. You with that? So when people say, hey, pastor, you know, I think, you know, the church ought to be involved in this area of ministry. I go, yeah, but listen, you're the saint. And my job is to equip you to do that. So when someone says to me, hello, someone, someone says to me, someone should do something, I go, yes, hello, someone. Because he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip the saints. Who does the work of the ministry is not the prophet, the apostle, the pastor, it's the saints. But I know we've got this bit of a bit of an Old Testament, and even in some denominations and church denominations, we've got this hangover of the Old Testament where there's clergy and there's laity. And the clergy are the professionals and the laity are the spectators. But the Bible tells me we're all ministers. Amen. And the Bible tells me it's not just the guy that's preaching or the woman that's preaching, but the Bible says he gave that some to equip the saints to do what God's called them to do. So we looked at that, and there's five gifts. Everybody say five gifts. And then we want to look at the gifts of the Spirit and what are those gifts. And there's nine gifts. Everybody say nine gifts. Now the sum, not everybody's got that, but the nine manifestation gifts, everybody can use these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, let's all read it together so we can see it in the Word of God. You ready for it? Now about spiritual gifts or about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, this is the Apostle Paul writing, I do not want you to be uninformed. Another translation says it like this, I don't want you to be ignorant. So Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's writing to you and I today, because how many know God's word is still relevant? So I want you to think about this. In context of his word, he's writing to Wave Church. And he goes, I'm going to write to you about the spiritual gifts because I need to combat ignorance. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. Now look what he says. You know that you were pagan. Somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want to show you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. There are different. Everybody say different. Come on, everybody say different. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Everybody say same Spirit. Different gifts, same Spirit. There are different kinds of service. Everybody say service, but the same Lord. So it says different kinds of service, same Lord. Different gifts, same Spirit. Can you see it? And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working. But listen to this. But in them all and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Everybody say, same God. Now, and you're going to wonder why I got you to say all that. You'll know in just a moment. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So these gifts that are given is given to each one, and it was, they're available to everybody. And why does God give these gifts? For the common good. Everybody catch that? For to one, there is given through a spirit or a message of wisdom, or to another, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit, by another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing or discerning of spirits, and yet to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and yet to another, the interpretation of the tongue. Now look at verse 11. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So far we've talked about the office of a prophet. In the New Testament, a prophet is one of the five ascension gifts, and he is a mature, or she is a mature believer. You got it? Who's got fruit and evidence of maturity of ministry, and yet even though they may mature, the Bible says that prophecy must always be judged. So just because someone's a prophet doesn't mean what they're saying is right. You still have to judge it. And then there's not just the office of a prophet, but there's what I want to talk about, the manifestation gift that's given to everybody. Are you hearing me? So the prophet, the office of a prophet is the ascension gift of a prophet. Not everybody's that, but yet everybody can operate in a gift of prophecy. And yet still, if you operate in that gift of prophecy, it is still to be judged. Amen. And I've talked a lot about that. If you haven't heard me teach it, get the CD. Get the, what is it nowadays? It's not even CD anymore, is it? You can download it. Get the CD. I just show how old I am. Praise. Get the cassette. Praise the Lord. Get the cassette. Get the 8-track. Dear God. Okay. And so we looked at the gift of prophecy, and we looked at the limitations and the restrictions and the power of what that gift is. We talked about faith, healings, and miracles. Oh, church, if you weren't here, put your hand out like this. If you weren't here when you heard that being taught, put your hand out like that. If you weren't here, and just bring it towards your face in an accelerated rate and slap yourself because you missed some good teaching right there. Get the CD. We talk about faith, healing, and miracles. We talk about discerning of spirits. Talked about that the last time I preached, about demonology and understanding what is the devil and how we're to see the devil. Great teaching. I'd go to Wave Church for that teaching. You don't have to encourage me. I'm just encouraging myself, okay? And then today I want to talk to you about word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about, you ready for this one? Something I don't hear taught in church. And that is the other two manifestation gifts that the church doesn't know how to deal with it. And it's the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. We're going to go there. We're going to teach all of it. We're going to have some fun with it. Are you ready for it? All right. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, let's get started. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. It's given to who? Each one to profit all. Did you see that? And He, the Bible says, distributes them to each one as He wills. So the purpose of all nine gifts of the Spirit is to benefit and to profit people. Everybody got that? That's why it's there. Okay, now look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. Look at verse 4. It says, and I think we've underlined it. Let's have a look here. There are different, ever say different, kinds of gifts, but the same. So different gifts, but the same Spirit. Can you see that? Okay, now look at the next verse. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Or say different. There's different gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Look at the next verse. And there are different kinds of working, but in it all and through it all, it is the same God at work. Did you notice what happened there? It says same Spirit, same Lord, same God, and yet they're all different. In other words, that is the Trinity, Spirit, Lord, God, working in unity, watch, in diversity. Yes. In other words, we don't all have to look the same. You hearing me? There are different expressions in which they're given, but there can be unity in diversity. Some people think the way in which the church can be more united is if all the churches got together And it was just one big, excuse me, I just had a little cough there, didn't I? One big, like, and we'll all get together and have one big service. The problem with that is when we all get together like that, we so don't want to offend other people's belief systems that we actually end up relating to the lowest common denominator rather than getting the beauty and the wonder of the different distinctives that different churches have and allow the expression of those things. But because we don't want to offend anybody, we just bring it all back to the lowest common denominator, which is least offensive. And then, of course, we have what I call beige. We have watered down expression of the body of Christ. And I think we ought to be able to celebrate the diversity of the body of Christ. I mean, Wave Church is not the only church in Hampton Roads, in case you ever noticed. There are other churches, and I think what we do well by the glory of God. But I thank God for my friend Bishop Courtney McBeth, and he's got a great church. Amen. So being united doesn't mean we all have to be the same. They can be different, and there is the Trinity working in unity. If you heard nothing else, catch that one. Now, that's just a little side point, by the way. It says different gifts, same Spirit, different kinds of service, same Lord, different kind of working, same God. Okay, now look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit everybody. You say, Steve, you're repeating yourself on purpose because I want you to understand what it is. These gifts are given to benefit the body of Christ, everybody. Amen? These gifts are open to all believers. That's what the Bible says, to each one. This is not the sum. Not everybody is an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's a teacher. Come on. But these gifts, everybody can operate them. Can you see it? Why? So that the church may be comforted, exhorted, amen, and it might be edified. So these gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit are to build up, cheer up, and stir up the church. To build up, stir up, and cheer up the church. Anybody can do with some building up. We need the gifts of the Spirit. Anybody need some cheering up, building up, or some comfort in your life? That's what these gifts are for. And it says here that they are, when it comes to, like, for instance, the gift of prophecy, they're to be exercised in the church. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me that only two or three prophecies at the most should be in any one-time service. Man, I've been around church life long enough to see 20 prophecies, which is out of order. The Bible says it's out of order. There should be two at the most, three. Same restriction when it comes to the ability to give a heavenly tongue. Two or at the most three. We'll teach it, don't worry, okay? And so let's look at this word, if you like. I want to talk to you about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Are you ready for it? Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another a word of knowledge. Now, I think we got a graph here because I want you to get this. If we have it, there it is. Thank you, guys. Look at this graph. This is the nine gifts of the Spirit that we just read about in 1 Corinthians 12. This is how I remember them. Those top lines are my, if you like, categorizations to help you remember the nine gifts. Those top lines are not in the Bible. This is Steve Kelly, your pastor, trying to help you to remember what these are. Everybody got it? Top line, not Bible, it's Steve. Okay? Other lines, Bible. But it's just Steve helping you to remember what they are. So the gifts of revelation by the Holy Spirit is a word of wisdom. We're going to talk about it today. Word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. We already did discerning of spirits, okay? Then the gifts of power are faith, healing, and miracles. That's how I remember them. Power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. And then the speaking gifts, gifts of utterance, is prophecy. They're all given by the Holy Spirit. They're all supernatural. You hear me? I'm just trying to give you categorization to remember them. Because I want you to hunger for these gifts. I want you to desire these gifts. I want to ask a question. How many can confidently say you actually have been used by the Holy Spirit in at least one of these gifts in your life? Let me see. Oh, wonderful. How many can say that you are actually familiar with, on a regular basis, expressing more than one of these gifts? Can I see your hands? Wonderful. Not as many hands, but that's good. Okay, so that's just how you can remember them. Let's go. Word of knowledge, John 4, verse 49. It says here, the royal official said, "Sir," speaking to Jesus, come down before my child dies. Now, if you're a parent and you're going to someone who you think can help your child live, how many know you're going with real urgency? Your son, your daughter is going to die. And you know that you're speaking to someone that if he were willing, if you were to get his attention, that he could make your child live. How many know you'd be having some passion? So it says, the royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. I could stop my sermon right now and just say, church, if we could just take Jesus at his word, if we could just take Jesus at his word, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. End of story, no more conversation. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Go, your child will live. Think about the dad. "Sir, if you don't come, my child will die." And Jesus says, "Go, your child will live." And that man, based on what Jesus said, walked away and believed. His child, who's dying. I don't know about you, but I'd be going, could you do something really wonderful and supernatural to give me reassurance? Can you give me a shandara manda? Could you wave your hand and do? No, go. Your child will live. That is enough preaching to help you live your life. Believe what God says. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That's all he needed. What would it take to convince some of you? I know the Bible says, but you got to get your butt out of the way. Amen. While he was still on his way, his servants went to him with the news the boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Well, it was yesterday, 1 PM, the fever left him." And then the father realized that was the exact time which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And so he and his whole household believed. Listen, that was a word of knowledge. Jesus had a word or not, your son will live. I know your child is sick and is about to die, but I'm telling you, I've got knowledge on your son. He will live. And at that hour, at that moment, 1 o'clock, fever broke. That's a word of knowledge. How many would love a word of knowledge? 3 people. How many would love a word of knowledge? I mean, that is a supernatural. God told him something about that situation that gave hope to the man and brought healing the exact same hour. I remember in a church that I gave my life to Christ in, there was a pastor who was the senior pastor, and he actually traveled a little bit like, and he called into the service because he was in another country. And he actually said, "I believe the Holy Spirit just has given me a word of knowledge. Our church was just robbed and someone has stolen the offering." And so he goes, he's still in the service. And it was one of the ushers. And this is young people. This is back in the day when people used to actually give this thing called cash. There was this thing called money. Now it's all digital, isn't it? But this is when people didn't have, there was no digital giving, there was no online giving. You just wrote a check, and of course, most Australians didn't even have checkbooks. It was always just cash. And the pastor who was away traveling overseas, God spoke to him and said, "Someone just robbed the church's offering." And so he said, "The gentleman is on the second row of the church, and he's sitting on the end, and he's wearing a brown sweater. Have him come forward and repent." Blow me down. The guy says, "That would be me." He was one of the ushers in the church, and he came forward and repented. He said, "Pray for this is happening in a service. God told the pastor overseas, someone just took the church's money." And by the way, he was an usher. He did have backroom access to all these things. And then they all prayed for him. And then this pastor said, "Now call the police and have him charged," which was the right thing to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was with my wife, Sharon, and I was preaching in a church that we were just getting started. And there was this only one unchurched peer person in the room. How do I know that? Because we were just starting a new church and only had 40, 50 people in the room. And there's one particular person that I recognized, and she was a TV show. She was a TV model. She was like, you know, the shows, Perfect Match, where they're trying to date a guy and a girl, match them. This is back before, you know, Big Brother and all that stuff. This is the early day version of that. And so I recognized her straight away. Very attractive model. But she actually, her eye was black and her face, her lip was swollen and cut. And I'm preaching and I gave the altar call. She didn't respond. She was the only one that I knew that wasn't a believer in the meeting, because I knew everybody else, and gave the altar call. I said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, just lift your hand. She looked at me and went, no. And then she looked at her watch, like, end the meeting. So, of course, I could tell this is like, she's not enjoying this. So I went up to her afterwards and I said, hey, with my wife, I said, hey, listen, I recognize you. You're on television. She goes, yeah. And I said, oh, so it's nice to meet you. I said, you enjoyed the service? No, I certainly didn't like your preaching. I thought, well, at least she's honest. And it's a lot better than someone saying, nice sermon, pastor, and you couldn't tell me what I said. Anyway, I said, tell me, is everything okay? Were you in a car accident? And she burst into tears and she told me the story that her boyfriend beats her. And she goes, the beating this time was so severe that when she went to the doctor and the doctor did tests on her, she was told because of the beatings, she would never be able to have children ever again. And something rose up inside of me. And I looked at her and I said, look at me, tomorrow that man will get on a plane. He will leave the country and he will never bother you ever again. And Sharon, my wife, looked at me like, what the heck did you just say? And I went, oh, I don't know. It's probably the dumbest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. And then this girl looked at me and her name was Sharon. And she looked at me like, you're kind, but you're an idiot. And so end of the story, you know, pray with her. And next day she rings me up and she goes, God was in that room last night. I said, of course it was. Of course he was. It was my preaching, wasn't it? She goes, no, I already told you. I didn't like your preaching. I said, well, what makes you think God was in the room? She goes, he's gone. And I said, who's gone? My boyfriend. No one knew. I didn't know. His family didn't know. But he had a plane ticket already booked and he's left the country. The only one that could have known that was God. And God thought enough about me to tell me through you that he's getting that man out of my life. I want to know that God that knows me. See, my friends, there is what we call a word of knowledge. And I want everyone here to desire to have that kind of gift operating in your life. Okay, let's keep going. Look at this one, John chapter 4. It says in verse 16, he told her, go call your husband and come back. This is the woman at the well, by the way. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, yep, you're right when you say if you've got no husband. The fact is you've had five. This is Desperate Housewives. And the man you live with now, he's not your husband either. What you've said is quite true, the woman said. Hey, do you know what that was? That was Jesus having a word of knowledge. What I love about this word of knowledge, please listen to me, please listen to me. What I love about this word of knowledge is Jesus didn't judge her. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you've had five and you're shacking up with another guy. That's not what she needed. She already knew. She was looking love for love in all the wrong places. And Jesus was showing her love personified. He was bringing grace and truth to her. But it was a word of knowledge. Can any see it? How many would love a word of knowledge? Look at this one. Some of you aren't going to like this. I already warned the 9 o'clock service. You're not going to like it. And I'm telling you, it lived up to the response, lived up to the preaching. You're not going to like this. Are you ready for this? How many want something from the Bible you're not going to like? How many don't know if you want something from the Bible you're not? How many would like to know if you're going to like it? Okay, Acts 5 verse 1. Now a man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. So what it's telling me is people are selling our property and giving it to the church. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought in the Bible today? Okay, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the feet of the apostles. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit, watch this, and kept back part of the money, look at this, for yourself. Look what it says, that you received from the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And even after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Watch, here's what he's saying. I'm just going to put it in today's figures, okay? Let's have a piece of land that's worth $500,000. That'd be a nice piece of land, wouldn't it? Okay? And he says, hey, Peter, I got this piece of land and I sold it and I got $300,000 and I want to give the whole $300,000 to the work of the Lord. That's what is happening here. And Peter's going, look, it was yours in the first place. Before you sold it, you didn't have to sell it. Wasn't it yours before you sold it? And wasn't it yours even after you sold it? To do with it whatever you want. But you're trying to come and tell me that actually you got $300,000 when in actual fact you got $500,000 and you've kept that $200,000, but you want to come off as if you're giving the full sale price to the Lord. And you're lying. And Peter is saying this, you could have said, I got $500,000, but I want to give $300,000 and I'm going to keep $200,000. That would have been okay. All right, okay, let's come here, look at this. And look what he says. He goes, what could you think you could do such a thing? You've not lied to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. God killed him. Amen. I told you wouldn't like it. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body. This is burial in a day, isn't it? And carried him out and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came in. Everybody say, uh-oh. His wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Her husband just died. And Peter said, tell me. He's giving her a chance to come clean. Tell me, is this the price you got for the land? Oh, yeah, that's it, full price. Gave it to the Lord. Then Peter said, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord? Listen to the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door. They will also carry you out. And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young man came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard. These are friends. Let me tell you something. I'm more afraid of God than I am COVID. I have way more fear of God than I do fear of COVID. And I want to say the only thing in the New Testament God ever killed anybody over was lying about their money. I told you wouldn't like it. I warned you. Before I started reading, you're not going to like this. I remember one time a pastor in our church encouraged people. This is back in the days we used to pass offering buckets. And somebody said, hey, listen, if you don't have anything to give, then just grab an envelope, write on it, and fake your giving. I couldn't help myself. I had to get up and say, church, don't ever do that. Don't ever fake your giving. Don't ever fake your giving. All right. But how did that happen? The Holy Spirit said to Peter, he's lying. Word of knowledge. Everybody get it? Okay, so a word of knowledge doesn't imply a spoken communication. It means no more than an inward revelation or of a part of the knowledge of God to an individual. It's flashed on to the person's consciousness so the person may know without inquiry or reason, simply knows the matter to be true. It may come entirely private, intended only for you. Sometimes God will give you a word of knowledge and you instantly think of it for someone else. No, it could be for you. Amen. And so, or it may be to give it to someone else. I remember years and years ago, I was in Denmark and I was preaching in Denmark and a guy that I led to the Lord, a beautiful young man, loved Jesus with all his heart, worked for a major company in Australia, well-known company, very high-profile company. And this young man got accused of embezzling money from the company. And I knew this guy and he came to me and says, Steve, I haven't done this. I didn't do this. And he goes, but they pressed charges. He lost his job. And so he was facing jail and he knew he didn't do it. He couldn't bear the thought of going to jail emotionally and mentally. He was not coping. And I remember Sharon rang me up while I was in Denmark and she goes, Steve, and we'll just call this guy Steve. She goes, Steve, this guy Steve is missing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, he's gone. He's not alive. He took his life. So I said to Sharon, you may as well tell him to stop looking. He's not alive. And the wife, I also led to the Lord. Here's the tragedy of that story. They found him in a car where he killed himself. And not long after that, the person who actually did the embezzling was so guilty that this man was accused of it and took his life, he finally confessed. But I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as day. He's not alive anymore. And I believe with all my heart, that man's in heaven. I believe the Holy Spirit said, man, come on up here. You're not going to go to jail. You're coming straight to heaven. Can I tell you, we need this gift of word of knowledge operating in our lives. A word of knowledge can give you, and the Bible says, look at this, 1 John 2 verse 20. It says, we have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So let me ask you a question. How many believe the Bible and how many believe that verse? Okay, about half the church believe the Bible. We're in good shape. I'm going to try that online. I want you to stay with me now too. I want you to respond. Give me thumbs up if you believe the Bible, thumbs down if you don't. Praise the Lord. If you put thumbs down, we want to see a thumbs up when it comes to giving your life to Jesus a bit later. How many believe the Bible? How many believe that verse is in the Bible? You look it up, okay, 1 John 2 verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you know all things? There's about three people who are willing to say, I think I do. How many don't know if you know all things? How many would like to know if you know all things? Okay, the Bible says we have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. You know all things, you just don't know what you know yet. And God will give you a word of knowledge. I don't know what 582,622 times four is. I don't know, I don't need to know. But if I lack wisdom, God can give me knowledge on a matter for a person, for myself, as to how to live my life that's led by the Spirit, and God can give me knowledge. Are you hearing me? Let me show you how a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom work together. I remember one time I was preaching at a church in Australia. I saw this big, strapping man, strong-looking guy, probably in his late 40s, early 50s, strong-looking man. Like, to be honest with you, he kind of looked like I don't know how to describe it. He's like one of those warriors, like a fierce, you know, kind of guy. And, you know, I went, oh, man. And God showed me through a word of knowledge that this man had a really awful, awful anger problem. And very successful guy, as you'll find out in a moment, but a real anger problem. And God showed me that in that moment of anger, in a fit of rage, he was so afraid that one day, in a moment of anger, he would get a gun. This is back in the days when Australians could have guns. And he would get a gun and shoot someone. And instantly, God gave me knowledge of what that man was afraid of, what he'd do. Now, when you get a word of knowledge, it's not just a word of knowledge, it's also wisdom how to share it. And I said, God, give me wisdom because I don't want to embarrass this guy. What if I'm wrong and I say this? So I just went, sir, no longer will you come into the house of God with your fist clenched, with your fist clenched, but now you will come in with hands open, surrendered to heaven, and God is going to deal with that anger in your life, and I know that you're afraid what might happen one day if you don't get this dealt with, but now your fists will no longer be clenched. The Lord is going to set you free today. God gave me a word of knowledge. God gave me a wisdom. God gave me a discerning of spirits because it was a violent spirit of anger, and God healed him that day in Jesus' name. Turns out, I didn't realize that the pastor told me that man is the chief of police of the whole city of Sydney. See, isn't God kind? Isn't God gracious? I remember one time I was praying for a bunch of young people and I was praying one after the other, laying hands on them. And I remember when I got to this one particular young girl, the Holy Spirit, stop, stop, stop. I heard him like, stop, stop, stop. I went, what? He goes, just slow down for this one, slow down. I said, what is it, Lord? He goes, be gentle. I said, what is it? And the Holy Spirit said to me, she's been abused. Well, what if I was wrong? What if I felt like that's what the Holy Spirit said and I say that? What cloud or question mark does that place over anyone that's in a life? So I didn't say that. I just went, sweetie, look at me. The Lord knows and it's not right, but God's going to take care of you. And she looked at me and the look she gave me was she knew that I knew. And I knew that she knew that I knew. You with me here? And I called my wife. I said, Sharon, come over, honey. Just pray with this young lady. And then she was able to talk to Sharon and we were able to get her out of that situation and able to see justice administered, which it should have been done. And we're able to see her free of that oppression. See, a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. God gives us knowledge, and it's supernatural knowledge. You have an anointing from the Holy One. How many want this gift? And I want to tell you, God can give it to you in your business. Who do I employ? Who do I not employ? Who do I bring into my life? Who do I not bring into my life? Are you hearing me? God can give you knowledge about, I remember used to saying to our Navy SEALs, I used to get them over the house and I'd say, guys, I'm praying that God will give one of you a word of knowledge as to where Osama bin Laden is. One word of knowledge, it's all done. The man's dead. And I said, I'm praying for you that God will give you knowledge, that God will give you wisdom. I think this is good preaching myself. Okay, time's up. I gotta close. Let me just talk to you about this idea of what wisdom looks like, a word of wisdom. I remember I was running a Bible study, a community group, and I'm telling stories here to help illustrate this, but I remember I was running this community group, and there's this one particular young lady in my community group, and we used to sing and worship in our community group, young people doing Bible studies. This particular young lady, every time it came to praise and worship, she could never engage. She would always do this. And I could tell she worship for her was incredibly uncomfortable. And finally, week after week, I've been praying and meditating on the Word of God. Excuse me. Been praying and meditating on the Word of God. And I've been praying and meditating on Romans chapter 8. And I said to this young lady in a Bible study, do you know, I've been praying about this verse and I'm asking God, why do you keep getting me to read this verse over and over and over again? And tonight I know why. It's for you. And I said, here's the verse. Now, let me tell you something. I still remember this verse from that moment. For I'm persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demon, nor principality nor power, nor things of the past, nor things of the present, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And this young girl's name was Janelle. I said, Janelle, look at me. No longer will the enemy separate you from the love of God. Today, God wants to persuade you. There's nothing in your past that can separate you. There's no demon. There's no power. There's no force. There's nothing that can separate you. That young girl just burst into tears. She came to me afterwards and said to me, Steve, you don't know what that's done. It's completely healed me. You see, I used to be a lesbian, and every time when it came into worship and every time I came into the presence of God, all I could do was think about how filthy and dirty I felt and shame that I felt. Listen, I didn't care if it was a lesbian or whether it was a straight person lusting toward a guy. Both is, in the eyes of God, wrong. Amen? But she felt so shamed and she felt so dirty. I said, sweetie, it's okay. And she goes, no, it is okay. I'm free of it. And the next time we had Bible study, she was in there and she goes, she was the loudest singer. She had her hands up in the air. She was set free. Amen. And as far as I know, still to this day, she's a traveling evangelist all over the world with YWAM. All because one word of knowledge set her free. Come on, church. And it's not just a word of knowledge. I actually think it's a word of wisdom that goes with it. Ah, I got to finish. Praise the Lord. I just looked at the time. Here we go. So let's talk about this idea of a word of wisdom. Are you ready for it? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1. So it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with the eloquence of human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Let me tell you, a word of wisdom is not human wisdom. It's not smart business investments. Are you hearing me? It is a supernatural gift. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Some of you are worried what's happening in the world today. Some of you are concerned how bad things are getting in the school board. And let me tell you, I've got concerns about things that are happening in the school board. But I want to tell you, the wisdom of this world will come to nothing. I know it. The Bible tells me it in Jesus' name. This will actually self-implode. God is still in charge. It won't hold water. But what we need is the sons and the daughters of God to manifest the presence of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God. It says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God has destined for our glory before time began. You know, this word of wisdom could be an apostolic use, and I need to teach this. I need you to hear this, because some people think, well, the church is supposed to vote on the pastor. Nothing could be more further from the truth. Nowhere in the New Testament does anybody vote for a pastor. This is not a political moment. This is actually seeing who God's anointed. And look what the Bible says. It says in Acts 15, this is the church council in Jerusalem. And all these people are becoming Christians who were not Jewish believers, but they're Gentiles. They're pagans. Are you hearing me? They're Samaritans. Because everything of what the Jewish people who became Christians was in the Old Testament, circumcision, food, diet restrictions, all sorts of things. They didn't know what to do with these new believers who don't have this Jewish background. So what should they embrace? What should we get them to do? And what do they not need to do now because Christ has come? This is a major ministerial dilemma in the church. And there were some people saying they got to convert to full, you know, Jewish culture, and others are going, no, they don't need to. So what was God's answer? The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers. We are built on the foundation of the apostles, of Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So look what the apostles did. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Abstain from food, sacrifice to idols, from blood and the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do, it says, you will do well if you avoid these things. I love the apostolic wisdom that God gives the church. Are you hearing me? And all the complexity of everything of the Old Testament is boiled down for these people in just two things. What you eat, what's been sacrificed, blood, and sexual immorality. I love what God does. Somebody say amen. So Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Who are these? These are the ascension gifts. This is the sum. Can you see it? It says there were prophets and teachers, and it says, and while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, watch, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Can I tell you, this is how God raises up leaders. It's not churches voting for them, but here the Bible says apostolic leaders, led by the Holy Spirit, go, that person's got a touch of God. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. We don't vote on pastors here. Are you hearing me? It's some people trying to make church a political moment. No. God raises one up. Are you hearing this? And so watch this now, because I want to close this out. People can ordain themselves, and dear God, there's been a few of those. People just ordain themselves. But let me tell you something. People say, what should I call you, Steve? Should I call you pastor? Should I call you reverend? Should I call you bishop? I said, you can call me soon coming king for all I care. I don't care. I want to tell you, if I don't have the anointing of God, you ain't following. But if God's put his anointing in my life, and that's been approved by other ascension gifted ministers, then I want to tell you, if I got the anointing of God, people will follow. I'm not hung up on a title. I'm not hung up on a position. I'm not hung up on what you call me. I'm just completely open to the Holy Spirit and the validation of that ministry. And let me show you what this looks like. The Apostle Paul was planting churches everywhere with Barnabas, and look what it looks like. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and appoint elders. He didn't say, let's have votes. Let you and I, Paul and Barnabas, go back and appoint elders in each church, praying and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom he'd put their trust. And this is my last verse. Is this okay? I want to show you a word of wisdom in the Old Testament, one of my favorites. This is perhaps one of the greatest examples of a word of wisdom. It says in 1 Kings, now there were two prostitutes came to the king. This is King Solomon. And one of them said, pardon me, my lord, the woman I live with in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. On the third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, the woman's son died because she laid on him. But she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son on my breast. This is kind of graphic, isn't it? The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't but the son that I had born. The other woman said, "No, no, no, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours and the living one's mine." And so they argue before the king. And the king says, "This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead." Well, that one says, "No, your son is dead and mine is alive." So what do you do when you have two women and both of them are protesting fiercely and believably? How many know if you're a mother, you would know your own baby? Let me try that again. If you're a mum, you'd know your own baby. And if all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you find the baby that's yours deceased, but when you looked at the baby more closely, you realize that's not my baby, that's her baby. Then you looked at the other baby, the other woman's baby, and you go, "That's my baby." You'd know. Could you imagine how much that would drive you to a place of almost insanity? That this woman, and how does Solomon know which one's telling the truth? Well, look what Solomon does. The king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He gave the order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of a love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I or you shall have him. Cut him in two." So the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first one. Do not kill him. She is the mother." When all of Israel heard the verdict the king had given, the king was held in awe because they saw he had wisdom from God to administer justice. That, my friends, is a great example in the Old Testament of a word of knowledge. How do I know whose child this is? Cut it in two. The woman who tries to save the child's life is the mother. Am I stirring anybody to believe God to get hungry for these gifts? I want Wave Church. I want to hear the story. God gave me a word of wisdom for my life. God gave me a word of knowledge. God gave me a gift of faith. God gave me a gift of healings. God gave me a gift of, just something miraculous. God gave me a prophetic word. I received a prophetic. I want the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our lives on a regular basis, and they are entirely supernatural. Amen? That's good preaching. And I want to encourage you. I hope today I've stirred you. I hope today I've provoked you to think about these gifts. I hope today you think about them and how often are they actually operating. I was so encouraged when I asked how many of you have had these gifts flowing in a reoccurring basis. And yet I know this morning as well, there are people here who've never even heard of these gifts. I was talking to someone out back in the green room. I said, "Tell me, had you ever heard teaching on this subject?" And this strong man looked at me and goes, "I've never heard anything like this in my life." I love the fact that Wave Church is full of people who know what it is to flow in the gifts of Spirit, and it's full of people who are coming into the things of God. Amen. Now I want to pray for you. My time is up. I've gone way over, but I'm telling you, it's hard to teach this subject in just a few short weeks. I'm trying to download it. I'm trying to give it in a zip file because you're a very intelligent church. You're getting the zip file, praise the Lord. When we're done, we're going to put all this together along with the teaching Josh did as well about praying in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to present it as a package for everybody so you can listen to it from start to finish in Jesus' name. But do you know the greatest miracle of them all is still the miracle of salvation, the gift of salvation? That is the greatest gift that can ever be in the church. If you can't say amen to that, that is the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. Let me tell you, there's no greater gift, because you could have a healing and you may be healed, but if you're not saved, when you die, you'll still go to hell. You can have a demon cast out of you, but if you don't fill yourself up with God, you're going to have seven more wicked than itself come back. But the gift of salvation secures your eternal life forever. We live in such a temporal world, it bothers me sometimes. We live in such a temporal world, but we live like it's all that matters. We act and think like the only life that matters is life here. But let me tell you something. If you're not thinking about your eternal life, my friends, the Bible says there is a time appointed to each man a time to die. Then after that, the judgment. Do you know what my job is? My job is to get you ready for heaven. That's honestly my job, is to get you ready for heaven. And I want to pray for you today. And listen, I'm not just about heaven when you die. I'm talking about heaven here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You can have heaven on earth as a believer. Amen. Can I pray for you today? Everybody online, can I pray for you? I know, listen, I'm so grateful that you stayed with us. Those who have stayed with us throughout the entirety of this message, thank you for being with us. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Some of you today are going to walk out of here and all of a sudden, because you were here today in church listening to the preaching of the Word of God, you're going to suddenly have a word of knowledge because faith comes by hearing. And I know today that there are people here that don't yet know Jesus. I know there are people here today that haven't yet. Listen, you once gave your life to Christ, but you know today you're not living for God like you once were. Look, hey, online, faith comes by hearing. And what is coming to you right now by the Holy Spirit is faith, because you've heard preaching on the Word of God, and it's faith to get right with God, to give your life to God. It's faith to come back to God. And I know that God is moving right here by faith, and people are going to get right with God. Who's believing with me? All right, let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And friend, if I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't yet know Jesus, but I feel faith coming into my heart. I need to get right with God. Steve, I'm not right with God, but I want to get right with God. And you feel faith coming into your heart right now, if that's you. And you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift your hand right now, all over the building. Lift it up. God bless you. 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 Come on, let me see your hand. Where are you today? God bless you. God bless you. Keep lifting him. Hold up nice and high. Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm looking for you. Where are you? God bless you. Come on, who else? Give it a wave if I can't see it. God bless you. Up there in the upper level, I see your hand. My last call. Lift your hand if you haven't lifted already. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. And God bless you right there. Church, hands are being raised all over the building. Let's give God praise. There were many. Faith comes. Hey, faith comes. How? By hearing online. Faith comes. Six people have given their life to Jesus online. We need preaching in the church. We need it. God chooses it. God chooses the foolish as the preaching to confound the wise. Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. It is the power of God under salvation. You listen, some people, I don't need church. I'm all good all by myself. No, no, no. You are wrong, my friend. God chooses the foolishness of preaching to bring people to a faith and a knowledge in the Son of God. You need a family. Let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.